And God said to the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 14, You shall bear your punishment for 40 years, corresponding to the number of days, 40 days that you scouted the land, a year for each day. Thus you shall know what it means to thwart me. I, Hashem, have spoken. Have you ever made a decision in your life, a poor decision, a bad decision, that you wish you could take it back? You wish you could hit the reset button and do it over. But now the decision has been made, and now there's a consequence that has to be paid. We're going to talk about that today in our reading from Numbers chapter 14. What can we do about that when we've taken a wrong turn, made a poor decision, and now there's a consequence? Listen in and learn what we can do to take those things and redeem them for the Lord. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is June 25th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 14, 31 to 45. Your children who you said would be carried off, these will I allow to enter. They shall know the land that you have rejected. But your carcasses shall drop in this wilderness while your children roam the wilderness for 40 years, suffering for your faithlessness, until the last of your carcasses is down in the wilderness. You shall bear your punishment for 40 years, corresponding to the number of days, 40 days that you scouted the land, a year for each day. Thus, you shall know what it means to thwart me. I, Hashem, have spoken. Thus will I do to all that wicked band that has banded together against me. In this very wilderness, they shall die to the last man. As for the men whom Moses sent to scout the land, those who came back and caused the whole community to mutter against him by spreading calumnies about the land, those who spread such calumnies about the land died of plague by the will of Hashem. Of those men who had gone to scout the land, only Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, survived. When Moses repeated these words to all the Israelites, the people were overcome by grief. Early next morning, they set out toward the crest of the hill country, saying, We are prepared to go up to the place that Hashem has spoken of, where we were wrong. But Moses said, Why do you transgress Hashem's command? This will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be routed by your enemies, for Hashem is not in your midst. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites will be there to face you, and you will fall by the sword, inasmuch as you have turned from following Hashem, and Hashem will not be with you. Yet, defiantly, they marched toward the crest of the hill country, though neither Hashem's ark nor Moses stirred from the camp. And the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that hill country came down and dealt them a shattering blow at Hormah. Second Kings 8, 1 to 9, 13. Elisha had said to the woman whose son he revived, Leave immediately with your family and go sojourn somewhere else, for Hashem has decreed a 7-year famine upon the land, and it has already begun. The woman had done as the man of Hashem had spoken. She left with her family and sojourned in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, the woman returned from the land of the Philistines and went to the king to complain about her house and farm. Now the king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of Hashem, and he said, Tell me all the wonderful things that Elisha has done. While he was telling the king how Elisha had revived a dead person, in came the woman whose son he had revived, complaining to the king about her house and farm. My lord king, said Gehazi, this is the woman and this is her son whom Elisha revived. The king questioned the woman, and she told him the story. So the king assigned a eunuch to her and instructed him, "Restore all her property and all the revenue from her farm from the time she left the country until now." Elisha had arrived in Damascus at a time when King Ben-Hadad of Aram was ill. The king was told, "The man of Hashem is on his way here." And he said to Hazael, "Take a gift with you and go meet the man of Hashem, and through him inquire of Hashem, will I recover from this illness?" Hazael went to meet him, taking with him as a gift 40 camel loads of all the bounty of Damascus. He came and stood before him and said, "Your son, King Ben-Hadad of Aram, has sent me to you to ask, will I recover from this illness?" Elisha said to him, "Go and say to him, you will recover. However, Hashem has revealed to me that he will die." The man of Hashem kept his face expressionless for a long time, and then he wept. "Why does my lord weep?" asked Hazael. "Because I know," he replied, "what harm you will do to Bnei Israel. You will set their fortresses on fire, put their young men to the sword, dash their little ones in pieces, and rip open their pregnant women." "But how," asked Hazael, "can your servant, who is a mere dog, perform such a mighty deed?" Elisha replied, "Hashem has shown me a vision of you as the king of Aram." He left Elisha and returned to his master, who asked him, "What did Elisha say to you?" He replied, "He told me that you would recover." The next day, Hazael took a piece of netting, dipped it in water, and spread it over his face. So Ben-Hadad died, and Hazael succeeded him as king. In the fifth year of King Joram, son of Ahab of Israel, Jehoshaphat had been king of Judah. Joram, son of King Jehoshaphat of Judah, became king. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He followed the practices of the kings of Israel, whatever the house of Ahab did, for he had married a daughter of Ahab, and he did what was displeasing to Hashem. However, Hashem refrained from destroying Judah for the sake of his servant David, in accordance with his promise to maintain a lamp for his descendants for all time. During his reign, the Edomites rebelled against Judah's rule and set up a king of their own. Joram crossed over to Zaire with all his chariotry. He arose by night and attacked the Edomites, who were surrounding him and the chariot commanders, but his troops fled to their homes. Thus, Edom fell away from Judah, as is still the case. Libna likewise fell away at that time. The other events of Joram's reign and all his actions are recorded in the annals of the kings of Judah. Joram slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His son Akaziahu succeeded him as king. In the 12th year of King Joram, son of Ahab of Israel, Ahaziah, son of Joram, became king of Judah. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother's name was Ataliah, daughter of King Omri of Israel. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab and did what was displeasing to Hashem, like the house of Ahab, for he was related by marriage to the house of Ahab. He marched with Joram, son of Ahab, to battle against King Hazael of Aram at Ramoth-Gilead, but the Arameans wounded Joram. King Joram retired to Israel to recover from the wounds which the Arameans had inflicted upon him at Ramah when he fought against King Hazael of Aram, and King Ahaziah, son of Joram of Jehuda, went down to Israel to visit Joram, son of Ahab, while he was ill. Then the Navi Elisha summoned one of the disciples of the Nevi'im and said to him, "Tie up your skirts and take along this flask of oil and go to Ramoth-Gilead. When you arrive there, go and see Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi. Get him to leave his comrades and take him into an inner room. Then take the flask of oil and pour some on his head and say, Thus says Hashem, I anoint you king over Israel. Then open the door and flee without delay. The young man, the servant of the Nabi, went to Ramoth Gilead. When he arrived, the army commanders were sitting together. He said, Commander, I have a message for you. For which one of us? Jehu asked. He answered, For you, commander. So Jehu arose and went inside. And the disciple poured the oil on his head and said to him, Thus says Hashem, the God of Israel, I anoint you king over the people of Hashem, over Israel. You shall strike down the house of Ahab, your master. Thus will I avenge on Jezebel the blood of my servants, the Nevi'im, and the blood of the other servants of Hashem. The whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off every male belonging to Ahab, bond and free in Israel. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jehoram, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Achiah. The dogs shall devour Jezebel in the field of Israel, with none to bury her. Then he opened the door and fled. Jehu went out to the other officers of his master, and they asked him, Is all well? What did that madman come to you for? He said to them, You know the man and his ranting. You're lying, they said. Tell us the truth. Then he replied, Thus and thus he said, Thus said Hashem, I anoint you king over Israel. Quickly, each man took his cloak and placed it under him on the top step. They sounded the shofar and proclaimed, Jehu is king. Acts 16:16-40. And it came to pass, as we, Paul and his co-workers, went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace to the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been led. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, Let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, The magistrates have sent to you to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words to the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Psalm 143, 1-12. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness answer me, and in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant. For in your sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I stretch forth my hands to you. My soul thirsts after you as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am your servant. Proverbs 17:26. Also to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. Today I want to speak to you from our reading from Numbers chapter 14. And in this part of the chapter that we read today, God speaks to Moses and passes on his message about what the consequence is going to be regarding the children of Israel and the 10 spies who gave the negative report, what's going to be a result of their fear, doubt, and unbelief, and their refusal to believe God for his promises that he was going to give them the victory coming into the land. So in Numbers chapter 14, we'll start in verse 32. But your carcasses shall drop in this wilderness, while your children roam the wilderness for 40 years, suffering for your faithlessness, until the last of your carcasses is down in the wilderness. You shall bear your punishment for 40 years, corresponding to the number of days, 40 days, that you scouted out the land, a year for each day. Thus you shall know what it means to thwart me. I, Hashem, have spoken. Thus will I do to all that wicked band that is banded together against me. In this very wilderness they shall die to the last man. That was the consequence. They were gone for 40 days spying out the land, and they came back and they were faithless, and they spread fear, doubt, and unbelief throughout the camp. And so God's judgment was that generation would not ever see the promised land, that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, beloved, I have a question for you. Have you ever made a decision in your life that when you look back on it, you think, man, that was a bad decision. I took a wrong turn there, and you suffered the consequences for that bad decision. Maybe it was some kind of a sin that you committed. maybe it wasn't intentional or purposeful, but it was committed in a time in your life before you knew the Lord, before you had his guidance and his presence, before the Holy Spirit was dwelling in you. You made a major life decision, and boy, did it cost you. Well, we can probably all relate to that. I'll share out of my life. I did not come to know the Lord until I was in my early 30s. And by that time, I was already married and had two children. So when I got married, I was not a believer, and neither was my husband. Neither was he a believer. And so we did not have any kind of a foundation to build upon that was solid. And we were married about 10 years, but after about 10 years, it started to fall apart and unravel and come apart. And it did not last. And I ended up, there came a day in my life when my husband had abandoned me. He ran off with his secretary from work. And I was 7 months pregnant with a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, left alone to take care of myself without any help or assistance from the Father. And so I began a journey of being a single mom and taking care of a newborn baby, a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And so it went for 20 years. I was a single mom and struggled and struggled and struggled. Of course, there are some very sweet times in that 20-year period of drawing very close to the Lord, and he was my husband, and it's what made me desperate to cling to him and to hang on to him and to seek after him and to press into Jesus with everything I had. He was truly my husband, my provider, the father to my children. He just was everything to me. But it was hard. It was a hard walk. And I could look back on it and say, you know, if I could do it over again, if I could hit the rewind button, that was a bad choice. I made a decision in my own mind without consulting the Lord. And the three most important decisions you'll ever make in your life is what career path you choose to go down, who you choose to marry, and what you choose to do with Jesus Christ. Those are the three most important life decisions you'll ever make. So the life decision that I made about who I married was made without any kind of influence or leading by the Holy Spirit. It was my own fleshly decision, and it led to disaster. Now, I got three awesome, beautiful children out of it, but I suffered and I went through a lot of pain. And it took many, many, many years to rebuild my life and to create a new pathway and to get a new foundation going with Jesus as my foundation. So if I could go back and hit the reset button and start over, boy, I've wondered and inquired, Lord, why couldn't I have come to know you when I was 12 or when I was 8, at a young age, before launching from the nest, before, so that, you know, when you leave the home and you make those life decisions about the career pathway and about your future spouse, that you're being led by the Holy Spirit. And I always kind of wondered, why couldn't I have come to know you sooner? And yet God works all things together for good for those who are called by God. So I ask you once again, has there ever been a decision in your life that you made that if you could hit the rewind button, you would do it differently? Because at the time that you made the decision, perhaps you were not under the influence and the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we make those life decisions and then we pay the consequences. And those consequences can take years to work themselves out. But the good news is God can cause all things to work together for good for those who are called by God according to his purpose. He can take our mistakes, our places where we've sinned and where we failed, and he can work that into his overall plan for our life and make all things beautiful in his time. So, Heavenly Father, as we think about and reflect on how the children of Israel were faithless and they did not trust in you and believe you for going into the promised land, and there was a whole generation that perished in the wilderness and they had to wander for 40 years just wandering in the wilderness. Lord, we don't want to wander. We don't want to get off of your plan that you have for us. Father, if we have made bad decisions, poor decisions, decisions based upon our own understanding and not led by your Holy Spirit, we pray that you would show grace and mercy and that you would forgive and that you would take those mistakes and those poor decisions and work it out for the good. We repent, Father, for the times that we have been faithless, that we have walked in fear or doubt or unbelief and made poor decisions. And we ask, Father, that you will get us back on course and back on track, and that we would follow you wholeheartedly with all of our heart. Help us to hear and obey. Help us to listen to you and be teachable, that we can be led by your Holy Spirit and not go our own stubborn way, but that we would be yielded and surrendered to you. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yevrekka Adonai Vishmerekka Yeah, Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panavilaka
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.